Hello, ladies, and welcome back to Women's Bible Study. Man, we have missed you all, and it is such a joy to have you back with us. And I know we've got lots of new friends that are joining us for a first time, and so it'll be a real treat to be able to leave here, have a review today, then leave here and go to the groups and get to know new friends. And so just super, super thrilled that you all are with us today. I have two announcements before we get started, and then we'll get to have Emily come up and teach us. So the first one, both of my announcements are things for you to do on this coming Saturday. So in the morning, on Saturday morning, you have the opportunity to, the external focus team is putting on a presentation, an interactive presentation, I guess. They're calling it the cost of poverty, and it's a cost of poverty experience where it's going to be in the loft at 9 o'clock on Saturday morning. And if any of you have kind of wondered how to engage with maybe those with lower income or homeless people, how to engage, how to empathize, how to understand maybe how they're feeling a little bit, this cost of poverty experience will give you the opportunity to understand them more deeply and help you to minister to them. And so that's 9 o'clock on Saturday morning. And if you want to get more information, you can scan that QR code right there. So we're getting pretty high tech here at Women's Bible Study. The next thing I want to announce is Saturday night, we've got the great opportunity to go and gather as women in the big auditorium for the collective. So that's this Saturday night at 7 o'clock, and it's going to be an amazing night, a really special time of worship. And then teaching by Davy Flowers. I know many of you know Davy, and she's going to be teaching. And then a really fun after party down in the town center. So all of you are welcome. There's no charge. There's registration at watermark.org/collective. But if you find at the last second that you didn't register and you can still come, come on. That'll be just fine. We will look forward to having you there. So those are the two things going on this week. And let me pray for Emily, and we will get kicked off for Women's Bible Study. So pray with me. Father God, thank you, thank you, thank you for the opportunity that we have to study your word, to get to know you more deeply. Thank you especially that this year we get to really know your embodied flesh of Jesus Christ, and that we get to understand your heart more clearly for us as we watch Jesus interact with people around him. So we ask that you change us as we study your word and know him more deeply. And that all the things that happened today would glorify you and you alone. I pray for Emily that she would communicate all that it is that you have for her to communicate with us, and that our hearts and our minds would be open to how you want to change us through what we learned today. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome back to Women's Bible Study. If this is your first week here, we are so happy you are joining us. And if you've been following along with us since August, it's so nice to be back here with you. I'm not going to lie. I came in this morning and I was like, do we start at 10 or 10:30? It feels like it's been like 6 months since we've been here. So how many of you like board games? I like them. My grandparents had a cabinet full of board games, and whenever we would go to their house, we would pull out the TV trays and go into the living room and play games together. So Guess Who was one of the games amongst many others. Have you ever played Guess Who before? It's the one where you have the pictures of all the different people and you're trying to guess who the mystery person is. You might ask questions like, does this person have brown hair? Or is this person smiling? Or is this person a girl? It's a great game for kids to learn categories and descriptor words. So we've been studying the book of John together. We're about halfway through the book. And this gospel, written by the Apostle John, focuses on the life, ministry, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And after reading the first half of the book of John, who do you say Jesus is? How would you describe him? If we were to play a game of guess who together, what words would you use or attribute to who Jesus is? So today we're going to review the first half of the book of John and look forward to the second half of the book of John. So A.W. Tozer, in his book, The Knowledge of the Holy, begins by saying, "What comes to our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us." So who is Jesus? My prayer is that today and through the rest of the semester, we would walk away with a deep understanding and faith that Jesus is God's Son, that Jesus is life, he is love, and he is Lord. So let's start with the fact that Jesus is life. So you've actually seen it on the front of your book all semester, that you may have life. It's our tagline for this year. And we see that in John chapter 20. But John starts his gospel by saying this in chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." So if you remember from our first week together, the Greek word for word is logos, or logos, however you want to say it. Jesus is the Word of God. He was with God before time began. And we can actually see that at the very beginning of the Bible, in Genesis 1, we read, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Do you notice how that sounds similar to the beginning of John? John is showing us that Jesus was present at the beginning. He was the eternal Word bringing forth life in creation. So God brought order from chaos when he created the world by speaking it all into being. Plants, land, animals, sea, the stars, the sun, he spoke it all, and he made it through the Word of God. And on day 6, he created the pinnacle of his creation, man and woman. God breathed life into Adam and Eve, and he created them in his own image, full of dignity and purpose, and he created it all perfectly. So life began in Jesus, and it still continues in Jesus today. But it didn't take long for man to mess things up. The crafty serpent came into the garden, and he began to whisper lies to Adam and Eve, making them question God's goodness. The serpent tempted them with the one thing that was off limits, the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He promised them that if he took it, they would be like God. And when Adam and Eve saw that the fruit looked good to eat, they took it and ate it and brought sin into the world. Now this God who gave them life, who is life, is also holy, meaning completely other than or the penultimate perfection. You see, Adam and Eve's sin separated them from God's presence in the garden and separated them from him relationally, because the punishment for sin is death and separation from God. But God, in his great love, made a rescue plan. This did not catch him off guard. He promised that one day he would send a rescuer to save humanity from their sin and crush the head of the serpent. But he wouldn't just send any regular person, because a human wouldn't be able to pay the penalty for sin, because he himself would be broken, as all humanity is. The only way for the full penalty of sin to be atoned for, to be paid for, would be if God himself would come and do it. And so all throughout the Old Testament, the people were looking and waiting for the Messiah. They wanted, in theory, to follow God with their thoughts, words, and actions. But we see them try over and over and over again, but they always drifted towards self and rebellion towards God. Does that sound familiar? I do that. They were looking for life, but they were looking at themselves and the created world to find it. But life is only found in Jesus. And as the people continued to go their own way, God continued to provide for them and offer them opportunities to repent and turn back to him. And he was also preparing the way for true life to come. And so that's where we picked up at the beginning of John. We meet the eternal word, God in flesh, Jesus Christ, fully God and fully man, the Messiah. John tells us that in him was life. And this is not the life as we know it, life full of ups and downs, of joy and hardship and celebration and hurt all mixed into one. But life eternal, life forgiven. Life still full of ups and downs, but one with hope and purpose, abundant life. So we saw this throughout chapters 1 through 12. Jesus taught the people that he is life, that life is found in him, not through actions, not in going to temple, not in following the law, but through faith, through belief. So Jesus told this to Nicodemus in chapter 3 and to the woman at the well in chapter 4 when he says he can give living water. Jesus taught them that he is life, but he also showed them. He brought life physically and spiritually to people like the man born blind in chapter 5 or the paralyzed man in chapter 5 and the man born blind in chapter 9. In chapter 11, we see Jesus make the profound I am statement that he is the resurrection and the life right before he raised Lazarus from the dead. And if these claims and miracles weren't enough, we are going to see the full picture that he is life as we look to the cross this semester. So the cross was the ultimate form of torture created by the Romans, used by God to bring about life for all who believe in Jesus. So our theme verse for our study, as we mentioned earlier, is John 20, verse 31. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. So ladies, where is life found for you? Oftentimes for me, it's in striving and seeking the approval of man. But what about you? Is it in your family, your friends, your job, your address, your material possessions, your clothing size, your experiences? Or is it found in Jesus, the author of life, the I am, the one who stood in your place? If you look at Jesus, do you see life? Would you describe him as your source of life, not merely your physical life, but your spiritual and eternal life? Who is Jesus? He is life. So we saw he's life, but he is also love. And I'm sure you've heard it said that Jesus loves all people. And while this is absolutely true, I think we've grown desensitized to these words. I think we've conflated Jesus's love with mere acceptance and passivism. But for me, reading the first half of John has renewed my awe and view of what love is in the person of Jesus and how he cared for others. Jesus pushed all of the boundaries, not in a sinful way, but in a way that showed people what true love is. He approached the sick and he saw them. They weren't an inconvenience to his ministry. He saw them and approached them. He spoke to them and oftentimes healed them. So these interactions weren't merely signs pointing to who he is, but they were also demonstrations of his character. Jesus didn't come to push an agenda. He came to rescue people to rescue us. And I could go on and on because everything he did was out of love. And if this is something that's hard to get or understand, I get it. I want to challenge you to go back and read chapters 1 through 12 again and treat it kind of like a game of I Spy, looking for ways where you see Jesus's love demonstrated. I also want to challenge you to think about the tone in which you're reading these verses. So yes, there are moments where Jesus's anger is present, just like when he was turning over the tables and overthrowing the temple. But even that righteous anger was out of love for the people and wanting to see them come to know God the Father. But his words of compassion and love are deeply rooted throughout the text. And I promise that it will change the way that you read and understand the story. I know for me, there were many times I had to slow down and reread the passages because I found myself reading in a tone of maybe being snarky or annoyed, not of compassion. So for instance, when I was reading chapter 3, when Jesus was interacting with Nicodemus, I found myself being like, come on, Nicodemus, you should know this. You're a Pharisee after all. You know what it says. But y'all, that's how I talk to myself a lot of the times. That's not the voice of my Savior. I can guarantee you when Jesus was speaking to him, it was in a tone as the good shepherd, wanting to show Nicodemus that his religious rituals were useless unless he knew the one it was pointing to. He wanted him to know and believe, not as I get it together. I had to stop and remind myself what is true of Jesus's character, that it's of love, and then go back and read it again. And it changed the way that the story read. John 13:1 tells us, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. So that's what we're going to see him do this semester as he counsels and serves and prepares his disciples for his impending death. As he is betrayed, arrested, goes through an unfair trial, and ultimately through his death, burial, and resurrection. Jesus didn't have to come to earth. He didn't have to endure growing up, sickness, hurt, being mocked, rejected, and misunderstood, but he did. In chapters 13 through 21, we're going to see the word know or knowing repeated many times. Jesus knowing what was to come. Jesus knowing when the prophecies were going to be fulfilled. Jesus knew his mission, and his love for the people was the driving force of everything that he did. So 1 John 4:10 tells us in the NIV, this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Jesus is love. Where in your life do you need to be reminded of this? Are you feeling rejected by family, friends, or coworkers? Remember, Jesus loves you no matter what. Are you feeling misunderstood as you talk to your husband or community? Jesus loves you and knows you better than anyone else. Are you feeling the guilt and shame of choices that you've made in your life? Jesus loves you and chose to go to the cross for you. Are you feeling forgotten by God because he hasn't answered that prayer? Jesus loves you. He sees you and he's working for your good, even when we don't understand his timing or his ways. Have you grown complacent to the fact that Jesus loves you? His love for you never wanes, no matter whether you feel it or not. It is always present. Y'all, that's why he came. That's who he is. This is one of the chief characteristics of Jesus, of who he is and who God is. So take some time to sit and process if you really believe it. Ask yourself, is Jesus love and does he really love me? And I promise you the answer will change your life. So John shows us that Jesus is life, he is love, and thirdly, that he is Lord. So the dictionary defines Lord as someone deserving honor, dignity, and majesty. Jesus, the Son of God, deserves all of our praise and worship and even more. Another way you'll see Lord in your Bible is Lord in all capital letters. So this is the English designation for the holy name of God, Yahweh. So Jesus not only made claims that he is the Son of God, but he claimed that he is God. He is Yahweh. And this was the dividing line for the Israelites. When they heard this, they had to choose. Were they going to believe and follow him, or were they going to turn and walk away? And that choice is what's before us today. Are we going to believe that Jesus is who he says he is, or are we going to walk away? There's no middle ground to this. So when Jesus made the statement that he is the bread of life, many of the people and the disciples walked away. If you were with us on Sunday, you heard Blake teach on this. So Jesus then turned to the 12 and said, "Do you want to go away as well?" And then we see in John 6, Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God." Are you going to believe that Jesus is who he says he is? That he is the Holy Son of God? Are you going to believe that his death, burial, and resurrection paid the price for your sin? And that by believing in him and asking him to be the Lord or in charge of your life, that you'll be forgiven and you will have a new life in him? So for some of you, this may be the first time you have walked into Women's Bible Study. Maybe you've heard of this guy named Jesus. Maybe you have a general understanding of who he is. Maybe you've never heard of Jesus. Or maybe you feel like you've heard the stories hundreds of times. Wherever you may be, we're so happy that you're here. We ask that you don't miss this. The gospel, this good news, is for you. And for some of you, this may be a really hard ask to trust this Jesus. You may be scared to let go of the life that you know. Jesus offers abundant life. You may not want to release that habit that you hold on to so hard. Jesus offers freedom. Maybe you don't want to let go of the opinions of others that you feed on. Jesus loves you and accepts you fully. You may not know if this Jesus can be trusted. You may ask if this forgiveness and this new life can apply to you. Those are all legitimate fears and questions. But can I remind you that Jesus can absolutely be trusted? He is full of love, compassion, and grace. And I'll tell you that trusting and following Jesus is a risk, but it's worth it. All that's required for salvation is faith. It's by Jesus' grace and love that we can be forgiven, we can know him, and have life abundantly. And it's out of his love that he chose to come to earth, loving his very own till the end, and choosing to go to the cross. That's who Jesus is. So to wrap up today, I want to read to you part of what Paul said in Philippians 2, verses 5 through 11. "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant. Being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." So that's my prayer for you and myself this semester, that we would grow in our understanding and love of who Jesus is, and that we would walk away confidently knowing and proclaiming that Jesus is life, he is love, and he is Lord. So let's pray. God, thank you for your word. Thank you that are the eternal word, that we can look to you and we can see life, love, and we can ask you to be the Lord of our life. God, I pray for our women today that this would just be a rich semester of building relationships with one another, diving into your word, and understanding more of who you are. God, we're going to thank you even now for what you're going to do, because we know that you hear us when we pray and you answer prayers. So God, we love you. We're going to thank you for this time together today and pray all these things in your holy name. Amen. Okay, y'all, you are welcome to go to your small groups now.